Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 76 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I am Joshua Grandison.
And I'm Harrison Hobart.
I think that race will be a race that will show the kind of candidate and the quality of candidate that we're going to have in that race and in the future.
Kentucky House Majority Leader Rocky Adkins says the special election to replace disgraced former Representative John Arnold will go well for Kentucky Democrats.
New revelations about an alleged hate crime in Moorhead.
And Rowan County is close to picking a new location for its detention center.
In sports, the Reds are revving up for their weekend series with Pittsburgh.
Bud Luke has a look at today's business report.
And the weather report for today, mostly cloudy this evening with scattered showers. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
The state unemployment rate declined slightly in August despite significant job losses in some key labor market sectors. The Kentucky Office of Employment and Training reported today that the rate fell to 8.4%, down from 8.5% in July. State economist Manoj Shankar says the trade, transportation, and utilities sector shed 2,100 jobs in August. The financial services sector lost 700 jobs. Shankar says the losses were offset by gains in the state's professional and business services sector, which added 2,700 jobs. The construction sector added another 1,700. Education and health services increased by 1,300 jobs.
Lexington Congressman Andy Barr says the latest quarterly figures on coal production in eastern Kentucky paint a dire picture of the industry. He says they show that production is down more than 40% and another 850 coal jobs were lost. Barr says that number of coal miners working in Kentucky has now fallen to about 12,000.
That is the lowest number since Kentucky began keeping such statistics in 1927.
Barr is a Republican who claims that there will be more job losses and economic hardship in the Appalachian region unless President Obama changes his energy policies. He says one-fifth of the nation's coal-fired power plants have been closed over the last 4 years. Barr blames overregulation of the industry by the Environmental Protection Agency.
Patriot Coal negotiated an agreement with mine workers to cover part of retiree costs, but as Dan Hyman reports, the unions say the situation shows corporate bankruptcy law is biased against employees.
Under bankruptcy law, workers usually come last in line, behind all other creditors. Kenny Perdue with the West Virginia AFL-CIO says the Patriot Coal retirees were helped by public protests and the threat of a mine workers' strike. But he says in most other cases, including 54 companies that employed steel workers and declared bankruptcy, workers have no way to negotiate.
They didn't get that chance. They just shut the plants down. They moved the business overseas if they were able to. And they just said, we don't have the money to pay the liabilities that we've incurred. And, you know, the handshake didn't mean anything anymore.
The AFL-CIO is pressing Congress to change corporate bankruptcy law. Patriot and other companies that declare bankruptcy typically argue that they were driven to it by economic conditions. The unions say in many of those cases, executives still get bonuses. Dan Hyman reporting.
A $10.5 million loan has been issued to Scioto Water to fund a project that will improve water distribution and safety. The Ohio Environmental Protection Agency provided the loan for what spokeswoman Aaron Strauss calls a much-needed upgrade. She says the investment will save an estimated $7.7 million over the life of the loan.
This program has saved public water systems more than $243 million in interest since 1998 when the program began. And Ohio EPA provides technical assistance in addition to these below-market loans, all in an effort to ensure a safe, reliable, and cost-effective public water supply for citizens and residents of Ohio.
The project will create new water mains, wells, tanks, and a treatment plant. It's already underway and is set to be complete in the middle of 2014.
WSAZ is reporting that Kentucky State Police are investigating the September 12th fire at the Blaine Volunteer Fire Department as arson. The blaze destroyed equipment and damaged several trucks. Trooper Michael Muriel tells the Huntington station there's evidence a theft occurred at the building. He says items are missing from it, and that would have required more than one person to haul away.
A Robertson County grand jury has indicted a 38-year-old man as the result of an August shooting incident. MSPR's Sam Steyert has the story.
The Ledger Independent reports that Keith Case was indicted for first-degree assault for being a persistent felony offender, and in a separate indictment, he was charged with being a felon in possession of a firearm. Case was arrested on August 6 after another Robertson County man was shot during a dispute over logging. For MSPR News, I'm Sam Steyert.
A judge is considering whether a civil trial involving the maker of OxyContin should be moved away from Pikeville. The lawsuit filed by Kentucky Attorney General against OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma alleges that the company misled healthcare providers, consumers, and government officials regarding the risk of addiction associated with OxyContin. Conway is seeking reimbursement of money spent on law enforcement, drug treatment programs, and Medicaid prescriptions.
Two Ashland residents are behind bars after police allegedly found a used meth lab in their home. Boyd Sheriff's deputies say they received information about a meth-making site at the home of Judith and Buddy Turner on Nervine Street. Along with the lab, numerous meth precursors, finished methamphetamine, and a young juvenile female were taken from the scene. The Turners are now facing several meth-related charges and are lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center.
There is new information about an alleged hate crime that was mentioned during a recent Morehead City Council meeting. MSPR's Chuck Mraz reports.
During council's discussion of a proposed fairness ordinance, which would prohibit discrimination in the city based on a person's sexuality, Morehead State University student Maria Horn told the group that her fiancé, a transgender male, was beaten up a couple of weekends ago. The individual reportedly suffered a broken rib, sprained neck, and other injuries during the alleged incident in Clearfield. However, Rowan County Chief Deputy Joe Klein says an investigator found no injuries or other evidence that the person had been assaulted. Klein says the deputy interviewed the supposed victim twice and received conflicting information about what happened. The Sheriff's Department has filed the case as an unfounded incident. Attempts to reach Horn have been unsuccessful. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chuck Mraz.
A proposed location for Round County's new regional detention center is expected to be finalized soon. Judge Executive Jim Nickel, who's a member of the site selection committee, says the group recently went out and looked at 10 to 11 potential sites for the 250 to 300-bed facility.
Some of the properties that we visited has since people have withdrawn their application to us to consider their property, so we've lost some of that way. We also considered where the property was. It was in location of subdivisions, those type things. We don't want to upset anybody that way. So we've narrowed it down to about a couple pieces of property that we are actually looking at and considering.
Nichols says the properties won't be identified while Round officials negotiate with their owners. He expects to have the situation wrapped up in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and the county will then be able to finish up its application for permission to build the new jail and send it to the State Department of Corrections.
House Majority Leader Rocky Atkins is predicting that Democrats will hold on to the 7th District House seat vacated earlier this month when John Arnold resigned from the post. Arnold, also a Democrat, stepped down as state representative for the Western Kentucky District after sexual harassment allegations were made against him. Republicans are expected to make the scandal a political issue in the special election to replace Arnold, but Atkins says it really isn't. Democrats take the matter seriously, he says, and are dealing with it accordingly. Atkins says his party is in the process of recruiting a strong candidate for that seat.
I believe that is a heavy Democrat seat, and I believe that we will have a very quality candidate that will run in that special election, which will happen before the end of the year. And we are now in really search of the right person and the right candidate.
Governor Beshear must call a special election to fill the 7th District seat. He has yet to do so.
Congressman John Yarmuth is accusing Republicans of playing politics with a recent decision by United Parcel Service to remove thousands of spouses from its health insurance plan because they could get coverage elsewhere. The Jefferson County Democrat says GOP lawmakers pounced on the move, saying the company had to cut costs to avoid even higher medical expenses owing to the impact of the federal Affordable Care Act. Yarmuth says the law actually helps UPS by giving the firm more flexibility. He says he confirmed that with the company officials.
I talked to the UPS executives about this, and they actually said, no, we're very upset about the way Republicans have used this, because what the Affordable Care Act did was allow us to make this business move, which a number of companies have done, and preserve our coverage at current rates and current contributions for our employees, about 15,000 out of the 770,000 lives that they insure.
Yarmuth made his comments in Washington today at a hearing of the House Oversight and Investigations Subcommittee.
Kentucky Congressman Hal Rogers says he is not, it says it's not preferred, it's not his preferred way of budgeting, but he's supporting a continuing resolution that would keep the federal government operating through December 15th and provide no money for Obamacare. That's the national health care law that takes effect next year. The Pulaski County Republican chairs the House Appropriations Committee. He says it's high time for the federal government to get its fiscal house in order.
And this CR, while not the ideal course, will give us the time, we hope, to do just that. This CR will provide a funding bridge to keep the government open while larger fiscal negotiations occur, we hope.
Rogers told the House Rules Committee Wednesday a government shutdown would be catastrophic and passage of the continuing resolution would prevent that. He says it'll keep critical services in place at current funding levels. The government's spending authority is due to expire at the end of this month without congressional action.
Round County school system is facing a major expense in the next few years. According to Assistant Superintendent John Maxey, some of the district's buses are between 5 and 7 years old and will need to be replaced before too long.
A bus typically costs anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000 to replace a bus. And a lot of our buses, you know, are 5, 6, 7 years old. Many of them are running with over 100,000 miles on them, and they desperately need to be replaced. And the only way that we can do that is through general fund dollars. And a few years ago, the last time we purchased any significant amount of buses, we financed those through over a 10-year period.
The Round District has 40 buses that travel an average of around 3,000 miles per day. Maxey says officials have redesigned their routes in order to save on fuel. The district spent $360,000 on fuel last year. Only 3 years ago, that amount was $220,000.
A chance to share preliminary ideas on a rebuilt Rupp Arena attracted a good-sized crowd to the Kentucky Theater on Wednesday. Architects discussed some of their early ideas on Rupp, a new convention center, and a waterfront park along a resurrected Town Branch Creek. Early estimates set the project's cost at $300 million. Lee Thomas of the Historic South Hills Neighborhood Association believes it would be money well spent.
Anything that's worthwhile costs money, and if you live in the past, you'll stay there forever, and you have to progress, you have to go forward.
Organizers of last night's event stressed no final designs are ready.
After 5 years, development inside Lexington's Distillery District has fallen short of some expectations. While numerous businesses have set up shop along Manchester Street near downtown Lexington, there are still vacancies. Real estate broker Greg Leverage says an old 5-story distillery warehouse remains empty.
Big structure to fill, and that's where we'd like to see some ground floor retail restaurant type of activity. You could position a restaurant could position itself right along Town Branch if they're on the corner. You could also have Manchester Street frontage on the front end. That could be a perfect example of a mixed use building where you've got retail on the ground floor and office or apartments on the upper 4 floors.
Developers are asking for additional city investments in signs, sidewalks, and benches. However, some council members say Lexington's spending priorities are shifting and the private sector should finance such improvements. And now a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Late this afternoon will be mostly cloudy with scattered showers, chance of rain at 30%. Tonight will be partly cloudy with isolated showers, lows in the mid-60s, chance of rain at 20%. Friday, partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, highs in the lower 80s, chance of rain 50%. Friday night, showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-60s, chance of rain 90%. Saturday, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning, then a slight chance of showers in the afternoon, cooler highs in the lower 70s, chance of rain 50%. Saturday night, partly cloudy, cooler, lows in the lower 50s. Sunday, partly cloudy, highs around 70. Currently in Ashland, it is 76 degrees. In Flemingsburg, 77. Winchester, 78. Lexington, Inez, 74. And in Moorhead, it's 76 degrees.
It is 4:45, and you're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. I'm Joshua Grandison, sitting here with Harrison Hobart, and it's good to have your company on this Thursday afternoon. On tonight's feature segment, Morehead State is home to one of the very few planetariums in eastern Kentucky. MSPR's Jordan Simonson has more.
Morehead State University opened the doors to its Space Science Center along with its swanky planetarium in 2009. The director of the Star Theater is Eric Thomas. Thomas says the facility does some amazing things, but believe it or not, it isn't magic.
The Star Theater is a combination of several computers and projectors that work simultaneously. We have a master computer and five renderer computers that feed the imagery out to five video projectors that are blended together on the dome.
These projectors help put on the theater's most popular attractions, the trippy laser shows. The shows came pre-installed with the system through audio-visible imagery. The Space Science Center has several shows featuring the lasers. These include Laser Country, Electrolaze, and the ever-famous Pink Floyd The Wall and Dark Side of the Moon. Thomas says that these lasers are much more than an educational tool.
The idea for the laser shows, I think, came from the fact that you see them in a lot of other planetarium-type venues, and the idea behind that was, while there are some educational programs, it's something fun, too, for the students.
Dr. Benjamin Malfrus is the director of the Space Science Center. Malfrus says he got the idea for the system used in the Star Theater after touring other facilities.
It's literally a state-of-the-art system. It's kind of a cross between a planetarium, a traditional planetarium with an electro-optical projector, and an OmniMax. So this is a very new technology. We had seen it implemented in a few places, a couple places in New England and out west on the West Coast. And so we were pretty aware of the technology.
Malfrus says that the center was not only built for research, but also for the purpose of doing public outreach. Thomas adds that having a planetarium in eastern Kentucky benefits not just Morehead State students, but also the area's public school systems, which account for about 60% of the theater's visitors. He says that having a planetarium on campus is a very cool thing.
The fact that growing up in eastern Kentucky, to see something like this, I had to go to Pittsburgh and visit my relatives and see a planetarium there. And now that, there's one here locally, to me that's the cool factor, is we've got something like that that you only saw in big cities here in Morehead.
Morehead State University Star Theater has several laser and educational programs lined up for the remainder of the year, and organizations can reserve a date to view a showing. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Jordan Simonson.
Mike Williams has been keeping a track of your sports world, and he's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided in part by Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. Each day, around 2,000 vehicles are made at the Georgetown plant. A factory tour gives you an insightful look at what goes into building the Avalon, Venza, and Camry. You can ride a guided tram car and see the process from start to finish, including a glimpse of giant cold-rolled steel coils that automatically presses shape into doors, hoods, and roofs. Tours are Monday through Friday, and reservations are highly recommended. ToyotaGeorgetown.com.
The Reds gear up for a weekend series with Pittsburgh. Good afternoon. Public Radio Sports Time is 4:49. I'm Mike Williams reporting. The Cincinnati Reds are enjoying a day off as they prepare to start a crucial weekend series in Pittsburgh tomorrow evening. The Reds sit 2.5 games behind first-place St. Louis in the National League Central, while trailing the second-place Pittsburgh Pirates by a game. Coming off a 3-game sweep of the Astros in Houston, Cincinnati will carry some momentum into the Steel City. Here's right fielder Jay Bruce, whose bat helped the Big Red Machine's recent success. A native of nearby Beaumont, Texas, Bruce had a grand slam and 5 RBI in the Game 2 win over Houston. He won last night's game with a 2-run double in the 13th inning. Checking afternoon scores around Major League Baseball this afternoon. The Pittsburgh Pirates blasted the San Diego Padres 10-1. The Detroit Tigers edged the Seattle Mariners 5-4. And the San Francisco Giants outlasted the New York Mets 2-1. Currently, the Chicago Cubs lead the Brewers 4-1 in the 9th inning. The Rockies and Cardinals are tied 4-4 in the 6th. And the L.A. Dodgers are up as well 3-1. In the third inning. The Eagles tonight are at home to host the Chiefs, that is, in NFL's Thursday night game. The game marks the return of former Eagles coach and Andy Reid to the city of brotherly love as the new coach of the Chiefs Kansas City has a 2-0 mark, while the Eagles, with new coach Chip Kelly, are 1-1. An associate former New England Patriots player, Aaron Hernandez, has pled not guilty to an accessory charge in the case in which Hernandez is charged with murder. Ernest Wallace of Bristol, Connecticut, appeared earlier this afternoon in Bristol Superior Court. He was indicted last month on a charge of being an accessory to murder after the effect. The Morehead State football team is looking forward to renewing things with an old foe on Saturday night. The Eagles will entertain Eastern Kentucky. The two teams began their long-standing series back in 1924, and EKU has won 25 of the last 26 meetings. With MSU struggling to an 0-3 start, Coach Rob Tanier hopes that the intensity of the rivalry with Eastern will bring out the best in his players.
Well, we hope so. You know, obviously the ultimate goal is to take make some adjustments from the things that we did wrong this game, and just we got to continue to become a better football team, you know, on all phases.
MSU wants to bounce back after being routed 69-19 last weekend at Jacksonville. Eastern Kentucky is 1-2 this season, falling in its last game to Coastal Carolina 51-32. There's a top 25 game tonight as North Carolina State plays host to number 3 Clemson. Each team is unbeaten after two games 2 years ago. The 7th-ranked Tigers were upset by the Wolfpack in Raleigh, North Carolina. The Associated Press has learned that a University of Texas regent and a former regent spoke with Alabama coach Nick Saban's agent about Saban becoming the Longhorns' next coach if Mack Brown retired. The meeting took place a few days after Alabama won the national championship in January. 2 days later, Brown was approached by the former regent to consider retiring. Brown, who had just finished his 15th season, said he did not want to quit, and the matter was dropped at that point. Beating Tate's Creek will be a tough feat, but Rowan County football coach Kyle Singleton says the Vikings are on the uptick as they get ready to host the 3-1 Creekers tomorrow night at 7:30. Singleton says the Vikes did a lot of good things in their 44-29 whipping of Fleming County last week, like recording 11 sacks, forcing 6 turnovers, and rushing for over 400 yards.
Now, I think those things, if we can continue to do that and just play with that kind of confidence and aggressiveness, then I think we'll have a shot.
Rowan will be looking to add to its 1-3 record tomorrow when it hosts Tate Creek. In other high school football tomorrow evening, fresh off a 38-21 win over Bath County, 1-2 East Carter visits Lawrence County. East coach Zach Morris Raiders will be looking to upset the 3-1 Bulldogs, who are scoring an average of 44 points a game.
You know, I think that we have the ability to go to Louisa and win. So I'm not saying that we're favored. We should be favored or anything like that. That's quite the contrary. But at the same time, we've got the personnel and some of the tools, and they've played well enough where this game is not out of the realm of possibility that we go down there and pull a win out.
Elsewhere, Bath entertains Estill. Russell travels to Boyd. West Carter heads to Greenup. Lewis is at Powell. And Mason County is on the road at Newport. Rowan County soccer teams are both at Menifee County this evening for a girls-boys doubleheader. The action kicks off at 6. The Rowan boys are just 4-5-3 this season, and Coach Max Hammonds says the key for the Vikings to get things turned around is making sure they have good ball movement.
We want to play very quick, so we want to get that ball off our foot quick and just, you know, one or two touches apiece and pass the ball so it'll break down other teams' defenses better than them. Whereas if you have one man, it gives other defense a chance to set up and get there. And just like reset their defense so that they can attack against us better. We want to attack quick and sit there and move that ball around the field.
Rowan Lady Vikings will put their 8-3-1 season mark on the line tonight in their game against Menifee. With his team off to an 0-7-1 start this season, Morehead State soccer coach Warren Lipka admits he overshouldered his young team. The Eagles have had to deal with the likes of number 23 Ohio State, West Virginia, Akron, Louisville, Ohio, and Xavier. But with OVC play just around the corner, Lipka believes there is one silver lining to the tough start.
We found the right combination of kids. I think that we're going to be able to get a little bit of a rhythm out now. So we've got to put aside what has happened on the record and look what we have down the road. And I'm confident, very positive that our players are going to really come on along the time when we need them to.
MSU will visit Appalachian State on Sunday and then start OVC play action against Jacksonville State just 1 week after that. And finally, the FedEx Cup competition comes to an end this weekend with the Tour Championship in Atlanta. The first round is being played today with every player in the field still in the running to win the $10 million top prize. That's a check of sports this afternoon. Have a great evening. I'm Mike Williams reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. As part of MSU's Family Weekend, Eagle football will host Eastern Kentucky University at Jane Stadium on Saturday. Kickoff is set for 7 o'clock p.m. Tickets and more information is available from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks closed near session lows, with the down S&P 500 easing off of their all-time highs from yesterday, as investors largely shrugged off a batch of upbeat economic reports a day after the Federal Reserve surprised global markets by maintaining its bond buying program. And at the close, the Dow Industrial showed a loss of 40.39 at 15,636.53. The S&P 500 was down 3.18 at 1722.34. The NASDAQ Composite did manage a gain of 5.74 at 3789.38. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 17 to 12 in favor of losing stocks over winners, while gold was down 0.2% and oil was down 1.6%. And overnight, Asian and European markets enjoyed a risk-on rally. Emerging markets led the gains as investors searched for higher-yielding assets on the expectation that the Fed's continued liquidity boost would benefit these countries. And in individual company news today, Walt Disney declined after the media conglomerate delayed the release of two of its Pixar movies. Groupon spiked nearly 10%, posting its best gain since June after Stifel raised its rating on the daily deal site to buy. Agilent Technologies rallied to lead the S&P 500 gainers after the bioanalytical equipment maker said it will spin off its electronic measurement businesses into a public company. And J.P. Morgan edged higher after the financial giant said it will pay approximately $920 million in penalties to regulators in two countries to settle some of the potential liabilities from the $6.2 billion London Well derivatives loss last year. In economic news, the Philadelphia Reserve Bank said business activity in the Mid-Atlantic region jumped to 22.3 in September, and existing home sales gained 1.7% to an annual rate of 5.48 million units in August, hitting a six and a half year high, according to the National Association of Realtors. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down 42 cents at 93, AEP down 14 cents at 44.67, CSX up 6 cents at 26.75, AK Steel down 6 cents at 4.44, Marathon Petroleum down 85 cents at 65.41, and Community Trust Bank was down 26 cents to finish at 38.80. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features original and unique gifts, including local artwork, fine jewelry, gemstones, sculptures, and natural art from around the world. Eat Gallery offers heirlooms, including earrings, bracelets, necklaces, and original artwork by Rob Weingartner and Fred Weisner. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery in Maysville is online at eatgallery.com.
Now a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Late this afternoon, mostly cloudy with scattered showers, chance of rain 30%. Tonight, partly cloudy with isolated showers, lows in the mid-60s, chance of rain 20%. Friday, partly cloudy with shattered showers and thunderstorms, highs in the lower 80s, chance of rain 50%. Friday night, showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-60s, chance of rain 90%. Saturday will be mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning, then a slight chance of showers in the afternoon, cooler highs in the lower 70s, chance of rain at 50%. Currently in Ashland, it is 76 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 77. Winchester, 78. Lexington, 78. Inez, 74. And currently in the city of Moorhead, it's 76 degrees.
And that wraps it up for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help on today's program from MSPR staff Chuck Moraz, Mike Williams, Tanner Boyd, Sam Steyert, Kayla Hall, Jordan Simonson, and as always, Dan Conti. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Harrison Hobart and all of the MSPR News team, I am Joshua Grandison. From Moorhead State Public Radio News, All Things Considered is up next. The time is 5 o'clock.